Good morning. We thank you for tuning into our radio program today. This program is brought to you each week by the Parkway Church of Christ here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Our building is located at 125 Hilltopper Avenue. If you would like to come and meet with us, we meet there each Sunday morning at 9 o'clock for Bible classes, 10 o'clock for worship, 10 o'clock together in our auditorium for worship, and then we have Bible classes 6 o'clock on Sunday evenings again for worship, and then we have Bible classes at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. These are standing opportunities, regular opportunities that you have to be able to focus upon what the Bible has to say. What does God say to us through His Word? That's what we want to find out. That's what we want to know. This morning I want to take a look at a passage in 1 John chapter 1. John, in his first epistle of these three, talks about fellowship with God and the basis of fellowship. And that's something that a lot of people don't understand. The word fellowship today is used of just about anything you can imagine. It's used of activities that are done in the name of the Bible or in the name of Christ or in the name of the church, regardless of what the activity is. I just continue to be amazed at how many different things are being introduced as works of the church, and then people consider that they have fellowship in doing those things. But the reality is that God has Himself defined fellowship. So the only way that you can call something fellowship, if you're talking in spiritual terms about spiritual things, and you're talking about in connection with salvation and the things related to the church, if you're using it in that sense, then you need to respect, we all need to respect what the Bible definitions are with regard to fellowship. We don't get to just do something or make up things and then call that fellowship with God. I was reading last week of churches that are using their church facilities in order to for children to learn and practice taekwondo and kung fu and things of that nature. And they say it's good to be able to defend yourself. Yeah, but that's not a work of the church, and engaging in that together is not fellowship. Not spiritual fellowship. So I want us to take a look at what the Bible actually, this is what we do. This is how we define things. If we're going, now let me emphasize, if we're going to talk about God, if we're going to talk about the things of God, the works of God, the will of God, the plans of God, the designs of God, the church of God, if we're going to talk about those things, I say that because you could use the word fellowship in an entirely different way. People do that. They use the word fellowship in regard to secular relationships, secular things. That's fine. That's fine. But if you're using fellowship in the sense of fellowship with God or fellowship of Christians, then God has already defined how that is done. He's already defined what that is. So I want to go through some passages today that might help us to appreciate what is involved in that. The first thing you're going to see is that Jesus Christ is of necessity involved in it. John, when he introduced the subject of fellowship, he first introduced the subject of Jesus Christ. Now, not Christ in just any regard, but Christ in the sense of His deity. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which our hands have handled, of the Word of life." The Word of life. "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. With His Son, Jesus Christ. So, what are we reading about here? Who is He talking about when He said the Word in verse 1? I'd like to point out that it's an interesting thing. In John's writings, he speaks of the Word in three different periods. And he describes, for example, the Word in John chapter 1, in verse 1, the Gospel of John, the Word who was with God at the beginning. And then he says that's Christ. So Christ is called the Word of God in John chapter 1 and verse 1. And then in John chapter 1 and verse 14, he says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Christ was the Word before the creation of the universe. He was the Word during creation. John 1:14. We beheld Him, and His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And He's referring to the Word having been made flesh. And now, in 1 John chapter 1, Christ has already gone to heaven. Christ is in heaven, seated at the right hand of God. And what did John call Him? He said, the Word of life. So verses 1 through 3 talk about fellowship. And who it is that John had fellowship with, and who he wants us, his hearers, to have fellowship with. He wants us to have fellowship with Christ and with His Father. That's how verse 3 ended. So then he goes on to explain how this works. And, you know, I was just recently listening to a guy, and he was talking about some sinful habits, something on television, on the news. And he was talking about something he did that he was wrong. He thought was wrong, and he believed was wrong. And he talked about his pastor, hopefully would forgive him. Which, by the way, that's not how this works. That's not how this works. You need to be less concerned about your pastor and more concerned about God. That's a misconception that people just tend to have about sin and righteousness. Being concerned that they may have offended their preacher or offended an elder. Some people call preachers pastors when they don't even meet the qualifications, but I know what they're talking about. We've preached on the misuse of the word pastor many times on the program before. But anyway, we know the concept. We know what many people believe on that. We need to be more concerned about what God thinks about us and what God does than we are concerned about what our so-called pastor does or what he thinks. Well, but the man was talking about sin and sinning. And he was describing it in sort of glowing terms. And he was not talking about something that he was working hard to repent of, to stop doing. He said it was something that he did and it made him feel better. He was talking about the use of foul language, of corrupt language, as Paul calls it in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. And I thought that was rather interesting how he described that. And it made me think, he calls himself a Christian. Can a Christian just go on deliberately committing sin? Just go on, continue in sin. John's going to talk about that. He's going to talk about this idea of whether or not we can continue practicing sin and retain our character as the children of God. We need to understand how that works. So we'll get to some of that later, but let's think about it right here in 1 John 1 as we continue in verse 4. He says, these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we've heard of Him and declaring to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, what are we hoping to do to be in fellowship with God? Well, we want to be in a right relationship with God. We want to be approved of God. We want to be jointly participating in salvation with those of like precious faith. We want to be blessed with salvation from God. But verse 5 actually says that God is light and in Him. We want to be in Him, don't we? Being in Christ is talked about all through Paul's writings to the Ephesians and the Colossians. Being in Him. You see that expression over and over. It's an expression that is synonymous with fellowship in God or in Christ. And he said here that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. You might be thinking, what does that have to do with me? Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And this is one of those verses that sometimes we talk about popular verses. Maybe Psalm 23 or maybe 1 John 3 and verse 16. John 3:16, God so loved the world. Many people are familiar with that verse. Many people are familiar with verses that talk about God's grace, like Ephesians 2 and verse 8. How about 1 John 1:6? If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, he's talking about deceiving ourselves, claiming to be one thing or thinking that we are one thing when in fact we are something different. Verse 6 says, if we do that, if we walk in darkness while claiming to have fellowship with God, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I'll be defining that later. The context is, if we have sin but claim that we don't have sin, we deceive ourselves. If, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10 again, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So friends, do you see how fellowship here is, there's a little more to it than we might like to believe? What we would like to believe is that, and I think many people just assume that this is true to be the case, what we would like to believe is that we can just live our lives however we want to, doing whatever we want to do. Engaging in whatever type of behavior we're fond of. Whatever, as we talked about last week in connection with Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and the idea of seeking pleasure. Whatever pleases us. Whatever pleases us. That we should be able to do that and retain our fellowship with God. I'm convinced as I look at religion that a lot of people actually believe that that's possible. That you can call yourself a Christian, but just do whatever you want to do. You can engage in sinful, reckless behavior. You can practice whatever you want to do. But as long as you believe you're in fellowship with God, you're in fellowship with God. What did we just read multiple times? In a very short chapter in the New Testament. The repetition in here seems to be on purpose. On purpose. I always like to point out when the Bible repeats itself, it emphasizes something and often in an area where human inclination, human nature is contrary to the thought. I'll give you an example. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. They say the same thing. I tell you nay, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Why would that be stated twice? Stated twice because people don't really like the idea of repentance, which ties directly with what we're studying right here in 1 John chapter 1, repentance, though I've not gotten to that point to emphasize it yet. The Christian who sins must repent. He must repent. If he does not repent, then he cannot be forgiven. So I want us to think about this, and there are several other examples I could give you of this repetition of things. We think of that with Jesus when he spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verses 3 and 5. You must be born again, he said. That must be important. He said it to him twice, really back to back. And what about Paul in Galatians 1 verses 8 and 9? Where he said, warned about changing or perverting the gospel or bringing something different than the gospel. Let him be accursed? That was stated twice back to back. Wonder why Paul did that. Because of the terrible tendency of people to do the thing that he warned against there. The tendency for people to modify what the gospel, to modify what has been given. And they have a tendency to make, what I mean by that is, make changes to it either by adding to it or taking from it. Does that sound familiar? Like maybe Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 or other passages repeated in the Old Testament. Why were they repeated there? Because of the tendency of people to commit that sin. And a tendency of people to oppose the teaching of the new birth. The tendency of people to oppose the teaching requiring repentance. So we saw that here, didn't we, in verses 8 and 10 and 6 of 1 John 1. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, with God, and walk in darkness, that is in sin, we lie and do not the truth. Well, look at verse 7. This is very instructive on the subject of fellowship. But if we walk in the light... Okay, now I wonder what he's talking about here when he said, walk in light. I need to understand that in order to understand fellowship. We need to understand what it means to walk in light. Okay, let's see. Let's let John be his own commentator. What is the parallel expression in 2 John verse 4? What is the parallel there? Well, he said, I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in what? Walking in truth. Verse 6 of 2 John says, and this is love, that we walk after His commandments. 3 John, the third little letter that John wrote. John said, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. 2 John 9 says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. What is he talking about? What does it mean to walk in light? It means to walk in truth. It means to walk in the doctrine, the teaching of Christ. If we do that, 1 John 1, 7, then what? We have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship one with God. One with God. Some people read that and they say, that must be talking about our relationships on earth. There are other passages that address that. Other passages talk about our fellowship one with another. This is in the context here is actually talking about what John has been talking about all the way from verse 1. Fellowship with God. God the Father, God the Son. We could even based upon other passages, add God the Holy Spirit. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If what? Well, if we acknowledge our sin. It must be acknowledged. It must be forgiven. Now, John is writing here to Christians. So you might say, I thought, wouldn't they have already been forgiven? Yes, they would have already received the forgiveness of their sins when they were born again, when they were born of God. But it's possible for the Christian to commit sin later, right? How do we know that? The next two verses. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. So, John, what are you saying? Well, that the child of God can sin. What if a Christian does sin? Can he continue in sin? Can he continue in sin and retain his character as a Christian? Can he continue in sin and retain fellowship with God? That's the context here. No, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We lie when we say that we have fellowship with Him. Because we cannot have fellowship with God if we are walking in darkness, while all the time God is light and in Him is no darkness, verses 5 and 6. You know, isn't this one of those subjects where actually Bible teaching is pretty plain? It's actually pretty clear, and it's pretty easy to understand. The problem is that it's hard to accept. It's easy to understand, but it's hard to accept. But John is very clear about this in these passages here. You know, he goes on in chapter 2 and verses 3 and following. Says, hereby we do know that we know Him. Now, this is an expression that's just used interchangeably with the idea of having fellowship with God. This is knowing on what we would call an intimate level or in a relational way, or you might say a relationship way. This is talking about the relationship of fellowship with God. And we do know that we know Him. We know that we have fellowship with Him if we keep His commandments. He that says, I know Him. Now, friends, I want you to think. It's different terms, but it's very similar to verse 6 of chapter 1. 1 John 2, 4 says, He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Okay. So, in 1 John 1, 6, it was termed, if we claim to have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness. Well, how is it stated here? Well, if we claim to know Him or claim to have fellowship with Him and do not keep His commandments. Like I said now, these verses are pretty obvious what they mean. They're obvious in their meaning. They may be difficult to apply because people don't want to do that. When it comes to fellowship with God, with regard to practicing sin, many people just want to believe. They're more comfortable believing that they can continue in their sin and continue in their relationship with God, right? Continue in fellowship with God. And as to the point in chapter 2 and verse 4, what do people really want to believe? Well, I'm afraid too many want to believe that we can ignore the commandments of God and even disobey God's commandments and continue in fellowship with God. But what did John say? He said, no, if you do that, you are a liar. You know, every time I read this verse, I remember one time I was preaching. And I quoted this passage. And that taught me a little lesson about sometimes in some settings, be careful when quoting Scripture. Make sure people understand that you are quoting Scripture. And it may be one of the things that taught me the invaluable lesson of giving book, chapter, and verse reference. And a man in the church, he called himself an elder of the church. Said he was an elder. Many people in the church thought that he, you know, was an elder in the church. And he scolded me for what I said. And I said, what did I say? What did I say wrong? I was young, but I was a little confused. I didn't know where I had misrepresented Scripture. And he said, you said that someone was a liar. I said, now, what I said was, and I quoted the verse again. I said, here, you take your Bible and read that. He just didn't like it. But why did he not like it? Because people don't like that strong language. They don't like that strong language, but I didn't make it up. I didn't make it up. I'm not the author of that. The beloved Apostle John is the one who said that. People need to think about that. That's 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. He said, one is a liar if he claims to know God. That is, he claims to have on this intimate level a relationship with God, to be a child of God, all the while refusing to keep the commands of God. Verse 5, but whosoever keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are, notice the phrase here I mentioned earlier, in him. We know that we are in him. What? We are in fellowship with him. We know that we are in him if we keep his word. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now a reference to Christ and his earthly life. What are we learning about fellowship? In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, John said, whosoever is born of God doth not continue to sin. He does not continue to sin or to commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, that is, cannot go on sinning, because he is born of God. That is, he cannot go on sinning and retain his identity as the child of God. You see that? One loses his relationship with God, his good standing with God, by continuing in sin. Now, what happens if we do sin? We've already read. What if I'm a child of God and I do commit sin? And we do. We do sin. But what possibilities do we have here? What can we do to remedy that situation? Well, God has promised that He will forgive us. In fact, that He is faithful and just to forgive us. 1 John 1:9, we read that earlier. God has promised that, but what is it that I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to confess my sins. He doesn't want to have to acknowledge them. I'm going to have to repent. I'm going to have to turn from my sin. In James chapter 5 and verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, notice that he said brethren, one of you err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he who converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. I've lost my fellowship with God if I go on practicing sin. If I'm a child of God and I sin against God, but I acknowledge that and I truly repent of it, that doesn't mean I'm going to start doing it immediately after I said, God, I'm sorry. That doesn't mean, that's not that attitude. That means that I'm going to have to determine not to practice to go on sinning. God will not forgive me if I just go on sinning. I must repent of my sin. What if I repeat a sin? Well, as long as I have the heart that I'm supposed to have. I'm penitent. I have godly sorrow. Then, and I repent of it, God will forgive. We're out of time this morning. We thank you for tuning in. Hope you'll tune in for our study next week. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day.